such a privilege to jump into what we call the Book of Joshua. And we just felt as an eldership team to spend some time diving deep into the Book of Joshua. And I said to the guys this morning, it is quite a difficult task to preach about Joshua because there's so much in the Book of Joshua. And let's see where we're going with this. But we want to really allow the Lord to lead us and to do something within us for us to be the people that God wants. And so, buckle up. It's going to get wild. The next couple of weeks, you need to buckle up. Don't get left behind. If the Lord is moving us forward, you want to be with the people of God. And so, the title of my preach is Being a Joshua Generation. Being a Joshua Generation. So, for those who are quite new to us, I just quickly want to give us a backdrop of how this church started, and not this congregation as such, but the church of Josh Gen. We just call it Josh Gen because Joshua Generation Church is quite a mouthful, like you just heard. And so, Josh Gen was started by Andrew Selly about 286 years ago, and with a handful of people in his lounge down in Cape Town. And it's beautiful to see what the Lord has done through a church like us. And my heart this morning isn't to puff us up. Just want to put that disclaimer out there. My heart is not to make much of us, but to make much of Him. Right? But context does help us. And so Josh Gen was started by Andrew Selly and a bunch of other people that said, listen, I want my life to count. And with the vision of being a Joshua generation, not being stuck in Egypt, not being stuck in the wilderness, but taking hold of the promises of God. The Joshua generation. And that's us. 26 years later, church after church plant after church plant after church plant, we're just under 60 congregations across Josh Gen at the moment. In 412, the partnership of churches that we are part of, how many? Over 800 churches worldwide. And we partner with deeply, not just theoretically on a paper, but deep partnerships and relationships with them and with one another. And so there's a sense of we are already walking in what God has promised us. There's a sense of health among us. And yes, we're not perfect. We'll make mistakes. Sorry for the spoiler alert if you're checking us out. We'll probably disappoint you at some point. But our hearts are to be like Jesus, to be the church that Jesus wants. And so being a Joshua generation is the vision which Andrew has called us into. And we can see we are walking in much of that. But I want to say that we are not there yet. There's more. There's more for us. The moment we think we've arrived, the moment we think, no, there's no more, it's actually right there and then we will move backwards. We will lose ground. Where the enemy will creep in and we'll lose ground. And so, buckle up. We're taking ground. Somerset West, we are taking ground. We are moving forward in the things of God. There's no time for settling. There's no time to play church. We are serious about the things of God. And we want to move forward with God. Amen? And so, with that being said, why are we called a Joshua generation? What does it even mean? And so, we're going to dive into Joshua chapter 1. And just before we get there, a little history lesson, just briefly. So Moses, it's so funny, my oldest boy is now two and a half years old. And every morning, he opens up this kid's Bible and he just wants to go to Moses. Tell me about this guy. Who is this guy? And it's beautiful to see that. And so Moses is a deliverer that God raised up to take the Israelites out of Egypt. Imagine being a slave for over 400 years. I mean, imagine working for a day and not getting paid. Imagine doing that for 400 years. Who wants to sign up for that type of Christianity? Not me. But imagine for over 400 years, these guys are stuck in Egypt, in slavery. They cried out to God, and He raises up a leader called Moses. And Moses took these people out of Egypt, and with many signs and wonders, many of you might have heard about it. The Red Sea parting. Imagine that you're walking to Strand and the Lord is calling you to go to Gordon's Bay, and you're like, Lord, but that's kind of a detour. Can you just take us through? Yeah. And the seed parts wise, you just walk straight through it. Imagine being part of that group of people, seeing all these signs and wonders. You know, manna falling from heaven, water coming from a rock. There was a sense like God is faithful. God is doing signs and wonders among us. But still, they were stuck in slavery for many years. And so Moses comes to the scene. God gave him the law to give to the people. Guys, we need to obey God. This is how we're going to get into the promised land. We obey God. Moses meets with God face to face. Yo, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm saying that. Like, imagine being a part of that group of people. But here's the thing. Moses never took the people into the promised land. He took them out of slavery, out of Egypt, into kind of what we call the wilderness. But God actually had the promised land in mind for them. And how often do we allow God to start something within us, and we take one step and like, okay, well, this is enough for me. But God actually wants more for us. He wants to move us forward into the things of Him, the promised land, our inheritance. And so Moses dies, and now we see a new leader come through, which is called who? Joshua. Right. Well, welcome. Joshua. His name actually means the Lord saves. And so the Lord raises up this guy called Joshua. And now he's not just called to wander in the wilderness, but actually to take the people into the promise, to actually fight battles, to take hold of the land. Not just trying to survive, get by, but actually inheriting what God has for His people. And us, being a Joshua generation, it's not exactly the same, you know. Are there any Israelites among us? There might be. But actually, God has given us Jesus, the Son of God. And now we are in Him. But still, we are now His people. And He has a promised land for us. He has an inheritance for us. And so, a Joshua generation rises up. And we'll jump into that. I'm not going to spoil, give you all the spoilers for the book of Joshua. We're going to spend some time in the following weeks. Seeing what the Lord did with that group of people is incredible. And so I'm hoping to give us a bit of a purpose and a mission and a vision for where the Lord is taking us. All right. You guys ready? Joshua 1. We're going to read verse 1 to 6. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, who is the son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant. And the Lord said, now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, and all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as with Moses. I will not fail you and abandon you. And then he says this, and we all know the scripture. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give to their ancestors. And already just there, we can spend months in this passage of scripture. But I want to mention two things this morning that will hopefully lead us a step closer and a step forward. Firstly, God has an inheritance for us. God has an inheritance for us. And it's not because of our work, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. For what He has done, the price that He has paid, we can now be co-heirs with Him. He has given us an inheritance that we actually cannot even understand. Where do we start to understand the inheritance of God? Promise us. And so God promises land to Israel. And the point is, in the way that they possessed it, is they had to take ground. They didn't just sit, warm the pew, just another Sunday, and they just say, hey, Lord, feed me. There was a taking ground. There was a mentality of, I'm part of this battlefield. God has given us this promise, yes, but the way we're going to get it is by fighting. The way we're going to get it is to go into the land and possess it. And grabbing hold of the things of God. And so, but God has an inheritance for us, and we need to know that. As a church, as a people, as individuals, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And don't switch off when I say that, because that message has been abused for years now, and I know, but it's still the truth. God does have a plan and a purpose for you. He does have an inheritance for you. But they couldn't stay where they were. There was no place for comfortability. It was like going in and we're inheriting what God has for us. And I want to say, often we think following Jesus is comfortable, right? How many of you know it takes work to follow Jesus? It takes work to follow Jesus. Whoa, hang on, Aya. I thought I'm not saved by works, I'm saved by faith. Now you're telling me there's work? Work. What are you saying? Does it require work to follow Jesus? And I want to say, we are saved by faith, based on the work of Christ. But once we are saved, once we are in Christ, He actually prepared works for us. And so it's going to take work for us to be where Jesus is. And so work isn't from the devil. Some jobs actually might be, but work as a theory or a principle isn't from the devil. Work was there before the fall. Before sin, Adam worked. He possessed the land. He multiplied the land. And so we need to be those who are faithful with our work. But not just our careers, but the work of the kingdom. The work of ministry. What is it that God wants to do in and through you? Let's work hard. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So now that we are in Jesus, He has good works for us to do. He has a purpose to fulfill through you. He has a plan for you. He's got an inheritance for you. You guys don't seem excited about the inheritance God has for us, eh? Because sometimes I don't think we know what is this inheritance. It's like a big fancy word that we connect with money. But what is it that God wants for us? What is the inheritance God has for us? And so I've got a few points that would help us to just broaden our understanding of what is the inheritance God has for us. For the Israelites, it was a piece of land. We know that land, it was, you know, filled with milk and honey. But what is the inheritance for us today? Firstly, I believe that it is the person of Jesus. Jesus Himself, His very presence among us, is our inheritance. What else do we want? What else do we need? Lord, I just want You. I just want You. His very presence. But then, as we are in Him, He transforms us. He gives us a new identity. The old is gone. The new is here. He makes us new. He makes our hearts alive. We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are called sons and daughters of the Most High. That is your identity. You're no longer an orphan in this world anymore. He has bought you with a price. His price was His blood, His life. He bought you with a dear, like a great price to make us sons and daughters in His family. It's our inheritance. A life of fruitfulness. Hey, as you get filled with the Spirit, haven't you seen those around you, even in your own life, you start to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know, before I gave my life to the Lord, I did these things, and now that I'm in Him, there's different fruits. And every now and then I get tempted with the flesh. And every now and then there's a car that drives in front of me. And you know, patience gets tested. All those things, I know. But if I'm full of the Spirit, it will be evident that my life is fruitful. Fruitful. So maybe you're here this morning and there's a barrenness within you. Maybe there's a spiritual barrenness within you where you just, there's no fruit. There's no life. I'm going out doing the things and I'm going Sunday after Sunday, but there's an emptiness. Maybe the Lord wants to set you alive this morning. Even churches being planted is part of our inheritance. Did you know that? I mean, in many ways, we are walking in the inheritance that God gave Richard and Imelda. Being planted out of, well, you guys actually planted Stellenbosch, and out of Stellenbosch, planted here in Somerset West, Stellenbosch PM, Gordons Bay, Trabeau. Where next? When? And in many ways, we are walking in the inheritance, and it all started with the vision that God gave Andrew, and it all just, we're walking in that slipstream of healthy churches being planted all across South Africa and the world. But there's more. There's more people to reach. What is our inheritance? What is the thing that we are contending for? And can I remind us that we have an eternal inheritance? It's not an inheritance that will fade away on this earth. We've got an eternal inheritance, which Peter actually describes in 1 Peter. Listen to this. He describes it as this. An inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil and it can never fade. Kept in heaven for you. There's an inheritance which God prepared that can never fail, never disappoint, which He is keeping for you. Can't wait for that day when I get to be face to face with Jesus. As He comes back for His church, as He judges all humankind, all people, those not saved yet, those who have been walking with Him, the living and the dead, we see Him face to face and He says, come, enter into my rest. Come, enter into the inheritance which I have kept for you in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow. Just being with Jesus. And can I remind us that this is His plans and purpose for us? But I also want to remind us, this is not something that He has for us as an individual, but for us as a church. And so, you actually need the person next to you. Tell the person right now next to you, I need you. And then to the other side, I need you too. So God has an inheritance for us. We need to know that. But now the question is, how do we possess it? How do we enter into what He has for us? So let's continue on reading in Joshua 1. Let's go, jump to 12, verse 12 to 15. Stick with me. There's some names here which are like, whew. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And you need to focus with me here. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, children, and cattle may remain here on the east side of the Jordan River, but your warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. So stay with them until the Lord gives rest to them as He has given rest to you. And until they possess the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Yo, I butchered that one, eh? Let's read that again quickly. Go on back. So, stay with them until the Lord gives you rest to them as He has given rest to you. And until they, too, possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Is that it? That is powerful stuff. And so what's happening here, in other words, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh already had their promised land on the east side of the Jordan. Right? So they have already entered into what God has promised them. And so, let's be honest. If you've been contending for the promised land for years, and you finally get it, I don't know about you, but I'll just Thank you, Jesus. I'm just settling right down here. I don't want to do anything else. We've been in the wilderness for years. Got my promised land. I finally moved to Somerset West. Now I'm settling. No more work to be done. I'm living now in the land of milk and honey. There's comfort all around me. But no, God said, don't settle. Don't settle. There's still work to be done. There's still other tribes that we need them to walk in the inheritance God has for them. And so all the warriors, all those who are armed and ready to fight, you go and fight with them for their inheritance. It wasn't anything to gain for themselves. I've already got my inheritance, but you're not walking in it yet. So I'm fighting with you. I'm going into battle with you. And the Lord said, until it gets hard, until they too enter into the rest I've promised them. Only then you can go back and enjoy the fruit of your labor. You need to fight. Not just for your own inheritance, but for the person next to you. The person next to you has something to walk in, which God has prepared for them. And alone you can only go so far. But together, we all can walk into the things and the promises of God. It's not something we can do alone. And so in other words, God said, you're not finished until your brother and your sister inherited their promises too. Until then, there's work to be done. And this inheritance which God gave us is much more corporate than it's individually focused. Much more corporate, much more us. Often in the New Testament, you see when the Lord speaks to the different churches, it's always an us thing. We read many of the things in an individualistic way, right? In our own, like, you are a temple of God. How do you read that? You is plural. It means us. We are the temple of God, actually. We are the house of God. You are not, sorry to disappoint you, you are not the center of the universe. But actually, Jesus is. He is the head, and his body is us. And he is the center that we live from. And so it is all about him. I haven't been to... What's the nature reserve called? Yeah, Helderberg. And that with the beautiful mountains. Some friends took me out to Lodenspit on the mountain bike recently. There's mountains. Listen, I'm from Bloemfontein, where these guys are now from. The only mountain is if you cross the bridge. You drive over the bridge. That's like, yo, that was quite high. But when you're living in Cape Town, there's proper mountains. All right? And I know some of you like mountain climbing, or you're going into the mountains to climb the mountain. And the whole idea is to get to the top, right? We want to get to the top so that we can take that selfie and post it on a social group, which we do have as a church, so that we can do more of those type of things. And the idea isn't for you yourself to get to the top, but for the whole group. If you're going for a hike, if you're going for a walk on the mountains or in the nature reserve, you want to get to a certain place, you want the whole group to get there, right? What point is it? And even in the group, there's some that are much stronger, you know, like Tiens, he can climb rocks and stuff with his bare hands. Have you seen those hands? So there are some among us that are just naturally stronger, and then there are some that are not as strong. But as we go on this mountain hike, the point is for all of us to get to the top. What point is it if I go first to the top? Yes. Take the photo and just chill. I'm sure they'll come at some point, you know. No. That's kind of what he's doing. The point is, maybe I am strong enough to go to the top myself, but I want to go down. And where's the others? Maybe can I grab your backpack? Can I help you take the weight off your shoulders? It'll just make the journey easier. Maybe on this part, I can just take your hand and just lift you and you overcome obstacles. And hey, I've got some extra water. Are you thirsty? Can I help? And then the point is to get everybody to the top. And in the same way, that is a picture of the church. That we are not called to just take hold of the promised land as an individual. But together, being aware of those around you. Whose backpack can you carry? Who can you offer water? Even Jesus saying, even if you give a cup of water to the least of you, it's like giving it unto me. It might seem insignificant for you to take a meal for a couple that just arrived in the Somerset West, that just got a baby. I had to tell yourself, listen, I think we can stop the meals thing now, because, I mean, there's just too many people bringing us meals. When we arrived in Somerset West, we had like 2-3 weeks of people bringing meals every second day. That is church. That is, hey, we're all fighting for the inheritance God has given us. Maybe it's praying for those in your community. Whatever the Lord lays in your heart, we want to fight for one another. Oh man, I love being part of a bigger picture. I love being part of a church that is bigger than just one man. We don't build on one man. We don't build on Richard Gordon. We don't build on Andrew Selly. We build on the body of Christ, which is rooted in Christ Jesus. And we honor leaders, and we follow leaders, and we make their work a joy. We build on Jesus. And so God has placed us in His church, in a tribe. Is this your tribe? If you're not part of this church, find your tribe. If it's here, join in, man. Don't sit on the sidelines. Join in. If it's another tribe, join in. But God's heart is for you to belong and to contribute and to be a part of His church and His tribe. God wants to move us forward. But together. And I want to just quickly do an illustration. You're probably wondering why these choir benches are here in the front. Who would you say in this church is the strongest person? Richard. Anyone else? Albert. I think so too. Albert, who? Jakes, you look like a strong guy. Maybe come to the front if you don't mind. Can I use you as an illustration? You're only going to do a handstand, that's the only thing. But, so Jakes, I've got a present for you. Feeling intimidated. So Jakes, I've got a present for you. I want to give you that choir bench. It's yours. But I don't want you to just keep it there. I want you to carry it to the other side. If you're able to carry it to the other side, it's yours. It's already yours, but now you need to carry it to the other side. But you can't drag it, because this is a school hall and we might lose it if there are marks on the school hall on the surface, yeah, but you need to carry it. So can you perhaps try, maybe start with this one? I know it might be a difficult task, but will you be able to carry it on your own? You give it a pass. It seems impossible. So can I give you some advice, Jakes? I think the only way you'll be able to carry that from that point to that point is if you get, let's say, about 3 more men to come and help you. Easy. Can you nominate 3 people that would be able to come and help you? Skulk? Okay, Skulk? Anyone else? Blackie? Okay. Blackie, you made the team. Martinez. There we go. Bringing out the big guns. All right, so Jakes, perhaps this will make the job easier if you guys together will carry your gift to this side. Will that work? Can you guys show us? It's just take away all the obstacles. Don't hurt yourself. It's very good posture, gents. Well done. That's good enough. That's good enough. And so just continue to stand here, because what I actually wanted to say is, Martinez, I actually have a gift for you too. That bench is also, that's yours. So how are you going to get it? Should these guys help you too? So perhaps you can ask these guys to go and help you bring your gift to this side as well. Can you guys do it quickly? He said they should ask first. You guys know what to do, eh? You've done it before now, so easy job. Some are more carrying more weight than others. Skulk is cruising there at the back. Excellent. Go grab a seat. Thanks, guys. Give them a hand. And again, this is a beautiful picture of the church. God has given Jake's this promised land, so to speak, this inheritance, but it's not something that he can carry on his own. The way he's going to inherit that is together. All people coming alongside him, fighting for his inheritance, carrying the weight, carrying the load with him until he finds it. And then they don't go back and sit and we all clap and, oh, well done. They actually go, what, who's next? Okay, Martinez. Martinez also has something. Now Jake's is fully invested into his mission. He doesn't go, I'm on the east side of the river. I've got my promised land. Thank you, Jesus. No, no. We're not settling. We're not settling. We're fighting until the others find the rest which God wants them to get. That is a beautiful picture of an us rather than just an individual thing. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to land soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Listen to this. It's quite a lengthy passage. Yes, the body has as many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell something? But God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Is that back to the start again? I was like, whoa. Is that it? Was that part of it? Is that the last one? The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need one another. We need one another. If God made you to be an ear, you need to be an ear that's connected to the body. And you need the hand. We need one another. We don't strive for position. We don't strive for, I actually want it to be the nose. I actually want it to be this or that. What is it that God wants to do through you and slot into His body so that the whole body can move as one? And as we jump to verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together in Christ's body, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. And so the Christian life, church, is not just you and Jesus. It starts there, but it's us and Jesus. It's us together forming God's body, forming God's church. And so in other words, your breakthrough is my breakthrough. Your destiny is my destiny. If you are failing, it affects me. not a selfish thing. I only care about myself. No, no, your body. If your foot is sore, you're going to find it difficult to walk. The whole body is going to find it difficult to walk. And so we fight for one another's calling, for one another's inheritance. And this is countercultural, isn't it? Where today it's said, it's all about you. Me, myself, and I. We actually know it's all about him and his body. It's actually all about us. And not just me. And I want to say that there's an enemy prowling around wanting to devour callings. There's an enemy prowling around wanting to take you out of the fight. There's an enemy prowling around wanting you to get comfortable in this congregation. There's an enemy prowling around wanting you to fight just for your career and not for the things of this church. Your heart is at stake. You need to be aware of those things. There's an enemy. There's a spiritual war taking place right now. Aiming for your heart. And we need to fight for one another. Who are those that you haven't seen for a few months? Your community, in church. Don't give up. Those that you are praying for, those who haven't surrendered their life to Jesus yet, are you still praying for them? Are you holding on to the things God has said? And I believe for many of us, God has spoken words over us, prophetic words. Don't lose hope. We need to fight for the things of God. Don't waste your life on things of this world. But pour it out for the king and his kingdom. For one another. There's an inheritance for us, church. And the way we're going to get it is by fighting, taking hold of the land. I want to end with the scripture. Maybe Ethan, you can jump onto the guitar. Listen to this. Psalm 2, verse 8. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. Oh, man. So God the Father gave Jesus the nations as his inheritance. Nations bowing their knees to Jesus. And now that we are in Christ, we get to co-labor with Christ. We are co-heirs with him, which means his inheritance is now our inheritance as well. And so the nations is not just for one or two that will go on an outreach every like once in 2 years. It's the nations bowing their knees to Jesus. It's a life devoted to the king and his kingdom. And if it means I'm bringing the kingdom here in Somerset West, in my workplace, in my family, in Strand, in Gordons Bay, in this area, I'm doing that. Because God has called me to advance his kingdom. And when there's opportunities to go into the nations, for Somerset West, that's also a nation, right? But then there are other nations. There are other churches and other nations that we partner with. So when there's an opportunity, listen, the Lord said, go and make disciples. So when there's an opportunity, I don't ask, Lord, should I go? I ask, Lord, is there a reason for me not to go? Because you already said go. You already said go. He doesn't have to repeat himself. The question really is, Lord, is there a reason for me not to go? Because my heart is, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go and make disciples of all nations. Because all nations, the very thing that is the inheritance of Christ. And we are a part of his mission. The great commission. We share the mission of Christ. In commission with Christ. You get what I'm saying? It's not our ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. It's his mission. We are his people. And Lord, what do you want us to do? We do it. You want us to reach Somerset West? We do it. We're not here to settle. We're not here to camp. We're here to build. We're here to advance your kingdom. We're here to advance your church, God. And it's through the message of Jesus that we build on. And so we're called the Joshua generation that should inherit the promised land. How sad will it be at the end of the day when Jesus comes back, you're like, still stuck in the wilderness. Still stuck. Yes, you've planted some churches and you've done some stuff, but you're stuck. I actually had this promise for you. Josh Jen Somerset West, I actually had this promise for you. I've had this inheritance for you. And you were satisfied with the small things. And I believe God wants us to take hold of the land. Take hold of what He wants to give us. So we call the Joshua generation. Call the Joshua generation. It's not just saved out of slavery of sin, but actually stepping into what God has for us. So let's be that. Let's be a Joshua generation. Give us the nations, Lord, because it's your inheritance. In the same way I'm fighting for my inheritance, Lord, I actually want to fight for your inheritance as well. And God is God. He doesn't really need us, let's be honest. But He invites us to fight with Him. He invites us to co-labor with Him. What a privilege. What a privilege to have the great Joshua, which is Jesus. The great Joshua, which is Jesus, our chief shepherd. The leader of leaders. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. He is Jesus Christ. The one that we follow, the one that we lay down our lives for. And we say, yes, Lord. We say yes to you. I don't want to waste my life on the things of this world. I want to pour it out at your feet, God. I want to pour it out for your kingdom. I want to be part of what you are doing, Lord. Before I do that, with all the eyes closed, I want to ask if there is someone this morning that maybe you are still stuck in Egypt. Maybe you are still in just under that weight of guilt and shame and sin. The feeling of I'm not doing enough. The feeling of I'm not qualified to follow Jesus. Maybe you've been wandering in the wilderness for quite some time. You've kind of stepped into some of the things of God, but you're wandering in the wilderness. And when I think wilderness, I think desert. And I think, yeah, that's a place where it's dry and empty. A place where I'm thirsty. A place where it is hard and just there's no life. And maybe you feel like you are that person this morning that are in the wilderness, in Egypt, far away from God. Maybe you feel like you're going around the same mountain, the same circles, time and time again. Can I remind us, church, Jesus is our answer. Jesus is the great Joshua, the one that brought us out of slavery, gave his life, He shed His blood. Even this morning, just partaking communion, being reminded of the blood of Jesus, the body that He gave to us. And the purpose of that was to call you home, to call you to Himself. Come out of the wilderness. Come close to me. If you've been wondering, if you've been stuck in Egypt, come, walk in the things that I have for you. And maybe this morning you realize, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need a new start. And I want to say, today is your moment. Don't leave here this morning being stuck. Today is your moment. Say, yes, Lord, I want to come back to you. Maybe I've drifted, but today I'm coming back to you. Coming home. And if that is you and you want to say yes to that, all the eyes closed, I want to pray for you. So if that is you, will you mind just slipping up your hand so that I can know who I should pray for? Is there anyone like that? You want to respond to Him? Just keep it up high. Anyone? Is there a hand up? Anyone else? Anyone else? Just want to say yes to Him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.